If I'm brutally honest with you today, I'll tell you that this is one of the hardest days I've stood in this pulpit. Well, I know you've heard it a lot over the last few days. I'm going to say it also. It's been a really horrible, terrible, mixed up, crazy week. Now, some of you are maybe bracing yourself and worrying that I might be getting ready to preach a political speech, sermon. Relax, I'm not. I don't think this is the place. I don't think you'll ever have to worry about me doing that because I don't believe that's my role as a pastor. I do, however, recognize that there is pain and division in our country right now. And it's the worst that I've ever experienced in my lifetime. It is truly a time where families are divided, cities are divided, our country is divided, and there is a lot of fear. Even though we're good here at HPBC about leaving most of the things at the door, there's probably a lot of different opinions in this very room. And I know that there's fear in this room. I've visited with many this week, phone calls and visits, sadness and fear. In addition to that pain, yesterday we gathered here and celebrated one of the most Christ-like men I've ever had the privilege to know. And it's really hard for me to think that Ned will never walk through those doors again. While we try to prepare ourselves, the weight of that loss is heavy. Monday, most of you don't know this, but Monday will also be the funeral for one of my dearest friends, Melba Peck, in Oklahoma. Melba was a little person. Every year, Melba would go to camp with me and tell stories about her life growing up different. And children would sit in a circle, and as she would talk, they would just get closer and closer and closer to her. Every night it happened. They learned that people who appear to be different really are just a lot like we are. And that God's love lived through her in amazing ways. I had another longtime friend re-enter my life this week, very broken. Someone who needs to see and feel grace, and who's had a hard time finding it from anyone. Another event that happened this week that has deeply saddened me is that two of our sister churches, and actually, if you're going to be honest, one is a sister church and one is our mother church, received letters telling them that they could no longer be a part of our Baptist General Convention of Texas. Because a decision that one of the churches made about their own identity, not about anything that affected the big picture, but affected their church and their ministries at their church. The second church, our sister church in Dallas, haven't even made a decision. They are voting on the decision today, and they received the letter this week that they are removed. So without even making a decision, just considering it, considering the possibility of being more inclusive in their church, they are being excluded from an organization. Because they want to be more inclusive. And lastly, I had to meet this week with our council chair and our administrative chair, and I have to meet with our council today to discuss what we might need to do to cut our budget by a substantial amount of money, because pledges for next year are considerably down. Now, if you weren't feeling down when you came into this room, I probably took care of that. But I felt like I needed to be honest with you this morning. I look back over all that we have done as a church this year and the number of different people in this community and beyond that have been touched because of you, and it saddens me that we might have to cut back on some of those ministries. But we have to be realistic about who we are and what we are. And as my mind was swimming around with all of these things this week and trying to muddle through all that needed to be done, I was driving down Mopac and the song that Kristen just sang came on the radio. It was everything I could do not to pull over the car as tears streamed down my face. Why? Why, in the midst of all that is going on, had I lost sight of that? Why was the last thing on my mind love? Sure, I thought about how I could love some people through this, but loving those that I differed with, I honestly had not gone there. Our scripture today, while appearing to be very apocalyptic, says that there is hope. And we have the reason for that hope right here in our very midst. While outside these walls, we may have lots of labels put on us. We may be Republican or Democrat or rich or poor or male or female or young or old, or Caucasian, or Latino, or African American, or Native American, or European, or Canadian. Inside these walls here, we gather on Sunday mornings to celebrate and give thanks to a God who loves us all. No exceptions. We are united together, not by gender or race or economic status or political affiliation, rather quite the opposite. We are united by faith. Faith in a God that created all things, sustains all things, and redeems us all. It's easy to look at our scripture today and say, well, sure, back then Christians were being persecuted for their faith, and today we don't have to worry about that, at least not here in our country. And that's true. We don't have to worry about that. But it is also true that there are those around our world who do have to worry about that. And there are those here in our country who have to worry about being persecuted because they don't believe the same as we do. It's part of our role in this world to love all. Not just love those who believe exactly as we do. Love all as God loves, no exceptions. I was talking yesterday after the service to Dad's brother, Alvin. I don't know if you got to visit with him, but you kind of felt like you were talking to Ned. And I told him, he's a member of Wilshire Baptist Church, the church in Dallas. And I told him how very sorry I was that Wilshire was going through this pain. And he laughed and he said, well, Cheryl, look back. Look back over history. The church hasn't grown and learned and developed without going through struggles. Look back. It's how we became Baptist. figuring out what we as churches stand for and what it means to love and grow together, and it takes struggles. When you do it right, yes, people take aim at you, and they frighten you, and they scare you because it scares them. But we still have to move forward. We can't just stay the same. We have to keep moving and changing. It's just sometimes best, and this was my favorite line, it's sometimes best when you have to change that you just don't tell people they're changing. I love that. Yes, we have to change. We're not in a time where we're being persecuted. If anything, we're in a time of indifference. We're in a time where Christians just don't show any difference in their lives. Friedrich Nietzsche, son and grandson of Lutheran pastors, became a harsh critic of the Christian faith in the late 19th century, and he said he rejected Christianity in part because few of its adherers demonstrated the resurrection joy it claimed. I would go so far as to say many people today reject the Christian faith because many Christians don't show love to everyone. Have we become the very thing our forefathers moved here to this part of the world to flee? Have we gotten to the point that if people don't believe what we believe, we want to wall ourselves off and refuse to let them be a part of our club? Are we prepared as people of Christ to stand up and say, we're going to love those who are marginalized because love can build a bridge to help them feel included? Are we prepared as people of Christ to stand up and say, we're going to love those who want to exclude others because loving them can help them feel inclusion? Are we prepared to be people of God to come together, committed to each other, to celebrate and thank God for showing us love with no boundaries? Are we willing to give ourselves physically and spiritually and financially 100% to building bridges of love? Bridges from one person to another. As the song says, don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? Love can change our world. Amen and amen.